Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. Welcome to any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, and welcome to those worshiping via the live stream. Excuse me. I'm glad to see each one of you here today, and I trust that God will come and meet us where we are at. We gather as the body of Christ to worship God and praise. We are to help each other, giving support and care to each other, sharing in our joy and sadness, in our victories and our defeats. I give you a new command: love one another just as I have loved you. You are also to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. John 13:34-35. Love one another deeply as brothers and sisters. Excuse me. Outdo one another in showing honor. Romans 12:10. Let everyone around us see the love of Christ flowing through us by the way that we treat each other and we act towards one another. Thank God this morning for his wisdom and his support that he gives us through the body of Christ. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way that you care for us. We just thank you for this beautiful morning that we could come and worship your holy name. We just thank you for the body of Christ, a place that we have to go for support and help throughout our lives. You have given us gifts to work for your kingdom. Help us to put those gifts into action for your honor and your glory. Help us to discover our gifts for the first time or deepen our understanding of the giftings that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Join me this morning in praising the one true living God.
I invite you to stand and worship with us this morning.
Creation suddenly articulate with a thousand tongues to lift one cry, then from north to south and east to west we hear Christ be the altar of my life. bow to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. If it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice cause you're there too. I won't be formed by feelings. I hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, I'll be crucified with you. Cause death is just a doorway into resurrection life. If I join you in your sufferings, then I'll join you when you rise. When you return in glory with all the angels and the saints, my heart will still be singing, my song will be the same.
Can come forward to lift the offering, and the children can come for my coins count.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Clothed in rainbow, color, fashion. Jesus, your name is power, your breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Shall we pray? Great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised. Your greatness is truly unsearchable. Just as you have given us grace and the precious gift of Holy Spirit, we are able to experience, among other things, the joy of giving. And you don't miss even one penny. You love cheerful givers because you yourself are one, and we bless you for that. As the budget items are met, may there be an overflow to meet the needs of the three missionary families that we help to support. Bless the gift and the giver, for it's in the one and only name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
I believe I overcome.
Song through endless ages.
Jesus, led me all the way.
Dear Lord, thank you that you are our shepherd. You are the one who leads us, and you care for us. You lead us beside still waters, and you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Lord, I pray that you would help us to follow you, to trust in you, and to know your voice and lead where you guide us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. How are you guys doing today? This morning, we're going to talk about administration. Does anybody know what that means? Telling people about God? Well, people can see God working through us when we do administration, and it can help point people to God as well. Maybe this will help. The act or process of administering, not so much. Performance of supervising duties or management, that doesn't really help either. Maybe if we look at the Bible, we can find a better answer. How about Joseph? See, we're going to talk about administration. How about Joseph? He was sold into slavery by his brothers because they got angry with him and hated him. So he was a slave in Potiphar's house. And Potiphar saw that he was good at administration and service, so he made him head of everything in his house. Then Joseph went to prison, and he was there for quite a while. But then Pharaoh had a dream. He had a dream about seven fat cows and seven skinny cows, and eventually the skinny cows ate the fat cows, but they didn't get any fatter. They stayed skinny. You think if a cow ate a cow, it would get a lot fatter, but they didn't. And then he had a second dream about good heads of grain and bad heads of grain, and this confirmed what God was going to do. So Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. He tells him what it's going to mean. He's telling Pharaoh that for 7 years, there's going to be an abundance of food. There's going to be lots of extra food. And for 7 years, there's going to be a famine in the land of Egypt where there's no food. So God shows Joseph how to save the entire nation of Egypt from starving. God gave him wisdom to know what to do and how to do that. And this is where the gift of administration happens. Joseph takes that knowledge and he puts it into action. Joseph gathered extra from every year that there was abundance, and he stored it in different towns and cities so that the people would have food in those 7 years of famine. So then during that time, when there was a famine, people could come and receive grain and food so they could survive. So the whole land of Egypt had food because God used Joseph and his gift of administration to save people. This may not seem like a great gift. It might seem kind of boring to do administration, but it's essential for the church to have people use their gifts. What would have happened if Joseph didn't use his gift of administration? Yes, the people in Egypt would have starved. They wouldn't have had any food. No one would have stored up, recorded, and planned ahead, and they wouldn't have had any food. So we are supposed to use our gifts that God gives us, no matter how small they might seem or how unimportant they might seem. So we're supposed to use what God gives us to bring Him honor and glory. So I'm going to pray for you, and then you may have a snack. Oh, there's people receiving receiving food. So I'm going to pray for you, and then you can have a snack and head back to your seats. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, bless these children. I just pray that they will come to know you, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Help them to grow closer to you. Protect them. And show them the gifts that they have so that when they know you as their Lord, they can use them to help grow the church. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack in that bag right there and head back to your seats. Well, good morning again. We received good news last week that Alvin Good is at home, so we praise God for that, that Alvin was able to come home. I'd like to take a minute and pray for a fellow Terry Hillian, Chris Umberger. He was in a hit-and-run accident Wednesday a week ago. He was walking to church Wednesday evening, and a car hit him and fled the scene. He had several surgeries to repair his leg. He's at a rehab facility in Lancaster, so I'd like to take a minute and pray for that, that he would have peace and comfort as he's recovering. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for sparing Chris's life. We lift him up to your throne of mercy and grace. Help him to recover quickly. Give him strength and energy for each day. Give him peace and comfort. And I just pray for the person who hit him, that they would turn themselves in, that they would come forward. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to continue looking at our spiritual gifts this morning, how God has given us, the body of Christ, gifts to build each other up and carry each other's burden and to reach people for Jesus. So we're going to cover administration this morning, we're going to cover leadership, and we're going to cover service this morning. I realize we're only scratching the surface of these gifts a little bit, but it's good to look at each one. I touched on administration a little bit in the children's message, and we're going to look more into that and Joseph and his administrative abilities. We're going to look at his leadership abilities and his service abilities as well. We're going to see how they all tie together and how he uses each one of those gifts in his life. Genesis 37, 1 to 2. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. These are the family records of Jacob. At 17 years of age, Joseph tended sheep with his brothers. The young man was working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpha, his father's wives, and he brought a bad report about them to their father. We can see that Joseph had some administrative skills. He was taking care of sheep. How are taking care of sheep an administrative task? Shepherds who tend sheep, they have to keep track of where all the sheep are. They wander away, they quickly get lost. You have to know how many you have in this group so you can know if any have run off or animals have taken them. You have to know if all the sheep are accounted for. You have to know what they're eating. You have to know when the sheep need to rest and when they need water. You have to look closely at them. Is there any insect issues? Is there any ailments? You have to know every part of the sheep and what is going on. Joseph had some real life on the job training because his food, his clothing, his money all came from these sheep. They were very important. And it was important that he took great care of them. He was serving his father and his family by caring for these sheep. He was serving others also in the way that he cared for these sheep. He was in charge. If something happened to them, it was his fault. It was his responsibility for their well-being. Joseph makes his brothers mad, and then he gets sold into slavery and is taken to Egypt, where he is put to work. Genesis 39, verses 1 to 6. That's Genesis 39, 1 to 6. Now Joseph had been taken to Egypt. An Egyptian named Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and a captain of the guards, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man, serving in the household of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made everything he did successful, Joseph found favor with his master and became his personal attendant. Potiphar also put him in charge of his household and placed all that he owned under his authority. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owned, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. The Lord's blessing on all that he owned in his house and in his fields. He left all that he owned under Joseph's authority. He did not concern himself with anything except the food that he ate. Now Joseph was a well-built and handsome man. And we know the next part of that story, where he gets sent to prison because he is accused of something that he didn't do. But Joseph was serving the house of Potiphar, and he excelled at it. He was great at it. He was excellent. Why? Because God was with him. God was watching over him, and God was blessing him through his giftings. And in the same way, God does that to us. But the difference between a gift and a spiritual gift is the divine empowerment of God to bring about his will. See, when we use our gift of service for God's will, bringing his plan into completion, we excel because God is with us. So what's the difference between service and the spiritual gift of service? Well, according to John Byler, the spiritual gift of service is quickly seeing the needs of people and helping them. This is different from when we're just task-oriented in service. The people become our focus while we're doing tasks, instead of just doing a task to get it done. The people that are around us and the people behind the scenes become our focus. Acts 9, 36 to 39. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. She was always doing good works and acts of charity. About that time, she became sick and died. After washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. Since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men to him who urged him, "Don't delay in coming with us." Peter got up and went with them. When he arrived, they led him to the room upstairs, and all the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and clothes that Dorcas had made while she was with them. And Peter goes in and prays for her, and her life is restored to her. But she saw the need that people had. She made robes, she made clothing for all the widows. But what made her different from someone else who might have done the same thing? It was her faith in Jesus. It tells us that she was a disciple. She was doing work for the Lord by fulfilling this physical need for the people, focusing on a group of people who needed help And we can apply that to our lives. Are we serving with joy? Or do we have an attitude when we're asked to serve? Do we begrudgingly say yes to service when we're asked? Or do we serve others with enthusiasm because we're serving God? Do we see it in that light, that by serving someone else, I am actually serving God? Because if we're serving with that joy for the Lord, as we fill other people's needs, service might be your spiritual gift. You care so much about people that you want to serve them and fulfill their needs because you are serving God in that way. So back to Joseph. He works hard. He's caring for his master's things and he's serving him. His pagan master saw that God was blessing everything that he had through Joseph and everything that Joseph did. There was a visible difference between Joseph and his other servants. Can people say that about our lives? Is there a visible difference in my life that people can see compared to someone else who's not a Christian? Potiphar puts Joseph in charge of his entire household, making him his personal attendant. He just stepped into a role of leadership, a role of service, and a role of administration all at once. Because everything was under Joseph's care, Potiphar only worried about what he was going to eat. God was blessing everything that Joseph did. As an example, Jesus modeled the same things for us. He used administrative, servant, and leadership gifts continually. He served God. He instructed his disciples. He bent down and washed his disciples' feet. Jesus was bringing honor and glory to God in everything that he did. Joseph may have had these gifts and talents, but God was using them, growing them in Joseph to fulfill his plan, blessing everything that he did. God's power was flowing through Joseph. And in the same way, we are empowered by God through the Holy Spirit as followers of Jesus. Genesis 41. 33 to 41. So this is after Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, and he's giving some wisdom to Pharaoh of what should be taking place next. So now let Pharaoh look for a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint overseers over the land and take a fifth of the harvest of the land of Egypt during the 7 years of abundance. Let them gather all the excess food during these good years that there are coming. Under Pharaoh's authority, store the grain in the cities so that they may preserve it as food. The food will be a reserve for the land during the 7 years of famine that will take place in the land of Egypt. Then the country will not be wiped out by the famine. The proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants, and he said to them, "Can we find anyone like this man who has God's spirit in him?" So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has made all this known to you, there was no one else as discerning and wise as you are. You will be over my house, and all my people will obey your commands. Only I, as king, will be greater than you." Pharaoh also said to Joseph, "See, I am placing you over all the land of Egypt." God used these gifts to to save the future nation of Israel. Because later on in the story, Joseph's family comes down and stays in Egypt. And after a change in Pharaoh, they are enslaved, and we see them come out of Egypt in Exodus. Joseph was serving God, Pharaoh, and the people of Egypt. He was serving all of them. Yet he had a powerful position, second in command only to Pharaoh. He was an influential leader who saw God working through him to complete his plans. He implemented a plan to store up extra grain in the years of abundance so that it could be distributed in the years of famine to save the lives of nations. Joseph was using his administration gifts to put plans into action. This gift of administration is just as important in our church as it was to Joseph in that time. Without it, tasks don't get carried out. Things get missed. And it's to the detriment of the body of Christ, the church, if we're not using our gifts. Joseph was using his gift. And as he was doing that, Pharaoh became wealthy, receiving land and goods in return for food, and people even sold themselves into slavery to receive food and survive. God empowered Joseph to do his will. And God is doing the same thing for each one of us through our spiritual gifts. God is empowering us to do his will. God has gifted us so that the body of Christ can be built up. It can be strengthened and not handicapped and dysfunctional because it's missing parts and pieces. The gift of leadership can be a challenging one to have. We're supposed to be leaders who guide people, but we also come under authority. I'm under Bishop Eric's authority, under LMC's authority, and ultimately under God's authority. So how can we be leaders and lead others who are leaders, who have gifts of leadership? It can be difficult sometimes. I'm going to read an excerpt from a book that Bishop Eric and I are reading together, On Being a Pastor by Derek Prime and Alistair Begg. Every team has its captain or equivalent. Although each member is equally important, someone has to lead. Without a captain, a team loses direction and discipline. Without a leader or conductor, an orchestra forfeits coordination and harmony. So it is with God's people. The 3 years our Lord Jesus Christ was with his disciples, he was their leader. As soon as he ascended to heaven, Peter became the obvious leader of the apostles. He and his fellow apostles then appointed leaders in all the churches they planted. The apostle Paul made it plain to Titus that things were not in order in a church without proper leadership being established, Titus 1:5. Without good leadership, chaos so easily follows. Most unsolved problems in church life can be traced back to defective leadership. Whew! What a challenge. A heaviness, a weight that you carry. We have to follow the model that Jesus portrays to us. Jesus was a leader, yet he bent down and washed his disciples' feet. He bent down and met people where they were. He encouraged people not to sin anymore, to turn and follow God wholeheartedly. He brought rebuke when it was needed, especially to the religious leaders who raised themselves up to be better than they were. Jesus did difficult things like clearing the temple when people made it into a marketplace. He called out leaders who did not honor God in how they treated people. Being a leader is something that takes continual learning and effort. Joseph didn't instantly govern a mighty nation. He was a shepherd, where he learned to care for sheep, which takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. Then he was in charge of a household, giving leadership to everyone in it. And then years later, he became the leader of a nation, second only to Pharaoh. In the same way, our spiritual gifts need to be nurtured and grown. You don't become a great leader without practicing your gift and putting it into action. Through practice, you lean on God to give you wisdom for each situation. You lean on God to empower you, to give you guidance and strength. This also applies to the gifts of administration and the gifts of service. We need to be leaning on God, relying on Him to lead us as we use our gifts. Two Sundays ago, Javon and I were having a conversation about spiritual gifts and using them. The conversation boiled down to this. Many times we compartmentalize our gifts into three categories: work, church, and home. We work all week using our gifts and our abilities and our talents. And then when it comes to church, suddenly they're spiritual gifts. And then at home, they're kind of a combination of spiritual gifts and talents and abilities. We need to remove that compartmentalization and mix them all together. We use them in each situation. They're all our spiritual gifts. There are spiritual gifts when we're at home. There are spiritual gifts when we're at work. And there are spiritual gifts when we're at church. God calls us to be leaders in our jobs. He calls us to be leaders in our homes. And He calls us to be leaders in the church. And the same is true for administration and service. There are gifts at work, our gifts at home, and our gifts at church. Are we using these gifts to further the kingdom of God? Are we using the gifts in the body of Christ, in the church, to strengthen each other, to lift each other up? Use your gifts, if you're gifted with administration, to carry out tasks in the church. If you're gifted with service, help others in need to bring honor and glory to God. If you have the gift of leadership, use it to bring honor and glory to God. If one of these three gifts is your spiritual gift, look for ways to use it to honor God. Let Him divinely empower you. There's some things that we can do. We can keep learning and growing and stretching so that when God calls us to something, we're ready. And we need to continually lean on Him. If you have one of these gifts, or any one of these gifts that we're going to cover in our sermon series, if you feel that you don't have opportunity to use it in the church, come see me, and we'll look together for opportunities for you to use your gifts and grow your gifts. Maybe these gifts are talents and abilities that you have, or maybe God wants to do more and He has planned more for you. So if you're not sure what your gifts are, keep pressing into God, seeking Him to show you what they are. You have at least one, and Scripture tells us that all believers in Jesus are given at least one gift. So I would like you at some point during this sermon series to write down your spiritual gifts on a Connect card, gift or giftings, print your name with it, and put it in one of the boxes at the front and the back of the church. If you don't know, write that down. I don't know what my giftings are. and put your name on it and put it in one of the boxes at the front and the back. On Tuesday evening this past week, we had a services planning committee meeting where we planned special events in the church. And when the pastoral team is on their retreat on March 10th, we're going to have a Life Celebration Sunday. This will be the Sunday after our study of the spiritual gifts has finished. And we would like to hear how you are using your spiritual gifts and how you discovered what they are. You can write them on a Connect card, or if you have a lot you want to write, you can write it on a piece of paper and put it in the boxes at the front and the back as well. We would also like some of you to share up front on that Sunday morning how you use your spiritual gifts and how you discovered what they were. When we share how God is at work in our lives, we strengthen and we build up the church. And there's going to be more information about that in your bulletin in the coming weeks. You can ask yourself these two questions. How do I use my gifts? And how did I discover them? So one Connect card will have your name and gifts on it with your gift or giftings. And the second is going to have the answers to these two questions. And you can take more space or say, hey, I want to share in front of everybody. We believe that answering these two questions can help others discover how to use their gifts, how to discover what they are. And so there'll be more information in your bulletin about that in the coming weeks. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, you have given us gifts to bring honor and glory to your name. Show us what our gifts are. Show us ways that we can use our gifts to bring honor and glory to you. Grow our gifts to serve you and your church with every fiber of our being. Help this church to be empowered and to function fully by the evidence of your Holy Spirit flowing through us, through your gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite the worship team forward to lead us in a closing song. Will you stand for the parting benediction? May God bless you, pour out His wisdom and Spirit on you, fill you with compassion for the lost and the hurting, guide you in using your gifts. God bless you. You're dismissed.